try to do, and again, in terms of scheduling, so I think we'll just try to do just today and tomorrow on an Yom Kippur to mix us and the like, and by next week be on to something else. We're really heading towards the end of the semester, so we want to try to get as many first parak and yanim in, so certainly want to talk about Losachmod and Losachfukon. We can't not talk about Losachfukon. He's a great man. So so we'll try to make progress with that. So in terms of today, so what we'd like to do first of all is recap a little bit from yesterday with a little bit more in terms of sources. Today I gave a Marmakomo sheet that added a little bit, went a little bit further, but also added a little bit to some of the points that we saw yesterday, just so you could see some Rishonim or some of the background Gemaras. How did everyone do with the Marmakomos today?
They're enjoyable.
Enjoyable, awesome. But in terms of, did anyone finish the whole list? Probably not. It's a short morning and a longer list. But in any event, so part of the idea is we'll flesh out a little bit more part of what we said yesterday and add to it a little bit. So just to recap and expand. So we started off talking about the question of, there's a number of issues that need sources or that need svaras. And first there's the Havamina and there's two Maskanas, basically. Right? The two things that we know that are true lahalacha is that we know that a Kofar Hakol is Pater from a Shvuah, and we know that a Modim Mixas is Chai of the Shvuah. And the Havamina was that a Kofar Hakol and a Modim Mixas should be Pater from a Shvuah. So we needed sources for all of those things. So first of all, what about that last point, the Havamina, that the Kofar HaKol should be Pater for Meshvua and the Modim Mixas should have the same din? So we saw that that was a subject to Machlokus Rishonim, why it was. And we mentioned Rashi, that Rashi says you could have thought that he was Kimeshiv Aveda. And we mentioned that there's some of difficulty if that's meant to be a literal point. So if you had a chance, I added the Ran this morning. If you take a look at the Ran, he goes through just the fact that Meshiv Aveda in general is Pater from a Shvuah because of Tikkun Olam. And you have to figure out, does that mean what it sounds like, that that's a Din D'Rabbanan, which would mean Rashi's going to have a hard time working with our Gemara, or could it still be that it's a Din D'Araisa and called Tikkun Olam? So it's definitely worth looking at Daran. If you have Tzikumar Masechus Gittin, which I didn't put on the list independently, but you can look if you have the round with the footnotes. They have a lot of interesting details in the bottom. But that kind of illustrates the approach one could take to the Rashi from kind of a technical perspective. But we also noted a few other Gemaras, Gemaras in Masechus Shvuas, Gemara in Ksubis, elsewhere, where you find this phrase, Kemeshiv Aveda, that doesn't necessarily seem to mean something so exact, but it's probably consistent with what we said yesterday, that if there's a societal interest in having the person come forward, we don't want to discourage them and hurt the other party by saying that there's a cost to coming forward, some kind of amnesty in some sense. To give one example, I gave the Gemara in Ksubis, where the Gemara talks about an Isha who's Pogemis Ksubasa, that she's coming to collect her Ksuba, but she volunteers the fact that she has received some payment for it. So she's not entitled to the entire value of the ksuba. And the Gemara there has an expression also that maybe she should be viewed kemeshiv aveda. So again, it's not a literal hashavas aveda. I think it's in the same sense of the word, that if somebody is going to admit something against interest, so we don't want to penalize them for doing that by making them then have to go further against their interest and discouraging them beyond the cost of the original statement itself. So then we noted also that Tosfos has a different view, and Tosfos understands that Migo is at play, and that you could have thought that we should say Migo, this person didn't have to acknowledge anything, and since he acknowledges that he's chayev a little bit, so we should give him the same din as the stronger time he could have had of Kofar Hakol. And that would probably be the way you would have read the Gemara without any Rishonim helping you. That's along those lines. And we mentioned yesterday also that there are a number of Shitas Rishonim which this is consistent with. It doesn't say the whole view of those Rishonim. So for example, what we see from our Gemara is that this Migo de Ha'aza because the alternative claim would require chutzpah, as the Gemara is quite explicit about. So that does not get you out of a shvuah. And therefore, it's consistent with the views of the Rishonim that Migo Daha'aza doesn't work at all, but you don't have to go that far. It's consistent with the views of the Rishonim that Migo of any kind doesn't get you out of the Shua, but you also don't have to go that far either. Just its limited scope could be that the Migo Daha'aza is not effective for a Shua, and at least for the Shua, which is a Shua Daraisa. So then we got into the question of, why is it that a mode of a mikzah is chayim, and why is it that a kofar hakol is pater? So in terms of the patur of kofar hakol, we saw that Rashi in Bava Kama says that essentially it's a credit that's given to him for his ha'aza, or the alternative to ha'aza. That for him to deny a debt completely means one of two things. That either he is a tremendous mechutzif, and he's really not a nice guy, he's willing to completely deny when somebody did him a favor, or he's telling the truth. So since it's unlikely that he's such a complete mechutzif, so we'll credit him as if he is telling the truth. And we mentioned yesterday that it's a surprising application of ha'aza, because we have invoked it in the past in a more limited context. In other words, when we talk about migo de ha'aza not being such a good migo, we mean that the possibility that ha'aza is a deterrent means that we can't give too much power to that alternative timing. It's not as likely as it could otherwise be, because there's a potential deterrent of ha'aza. Here we're giving a lot more power to ha'aza. We're saying that ha'aza is such a factor that somebody who would brave the waves of ha'aza is either a real mechutzif or is telling the truth. So we discussed the possibility that maybe it's still somewhat limited. We wouldn't necessarily give this guy credibility in mamonos. We wouldn't let him have monetary credit for it. But in terms of getting him out of a shvua, maybe it's good enough for that. Now we suggested that maybe it's because a person who would willing to be so mechutzif, so maybe a shvua is not going to add so much. Maybe a shvua, we know, is a somewhat limited tool. If a person is really, really brazen, he's willing to lie falsely, so then Shvuah doesn't have that much power against him. And therefore, maybe it's effective for that. Now, parenthetically, we didn't get into this, just to mention it. So there is an issue, it's kind of a subtext in all of our sugyas, and maybe we'll find the time to really go into it in more length. The Achronim, in general, try to figure out what exactly a Shvuah does. What is a Shvuah meant to represent? Is a Shvuah some type of a birur? Is the assumption that people are willing to dissemble, are willing to misrepresent things, but they're not willing to swear falsely? That's a whole new madrega. And therefore, essentially, it's a birur of the MS. Once you put a shvua there, we are now successfully clarifying the truth. Or do we assume it doesn't really do that, and it's there as an added weapon for the other party? The other party sometimes, because of his standing, gets an extra tool, and the tool is he can throw a shvua on the other party, and that tilts things a little bit more in his favor. But it's not necessarily an actual birur. So Achronim in general raised that question, and that could be a part of the issue. What does it mean that ha'azo will get you out of the shvua? The possibility of ha'azo will get you out of the shvua when that's more than we've given it credit for in other contexts.
What's the second opinion?
Yeah, that it's not necessarily a bearer of the MS, but it makes things more uncomfortable for the other guy. So maybe if you and I are in a Din Torah, and I, for some reason, have the upper hand, so part of that upper hand means I can also make you take a shvur, and that's going to put some more heat on you. It may not necessarily be an actual bearer, because it's certainly possible that you're brazen enough to ignore the shvur too, but it will add heat on you, and maybe that's part of my rights if I'm in a certain advantageous position. So maybe it's a benefit to me. So for example, I have a right to some satisfaction, so you might say, okay, yeah, I have a right to make the other guy swear. As opposed to a situation where I have no standing and I have no right to impose any answers. The whole idea that somebody has to answer to me, so to speak, is a reflection of the fact that I have a certain standing here. Sometimes a person has the right to ignore me. So if a person has to not only answer me, but has to take a shvur to tell him the truth, so that credits my claim more than it could otherwise be the case, and increases my chance that I will get paid back, even if just a little bit. And maybe that's a tool that a Baldin sometimes has under circumstances when things point in his direction to begin with. So that also raised the possibility, we mentioned the whole din of Reb Chiya, that if you have Edim, so Edim who testify that you're chayiv in half, so that should be treated like a modim mitzvah. You should be chayiv in a shvua, because the kal v'chomer from hodas piv, that if I admit to half, I have to take a shvua. So if Edim come and say I'm a chayiv half, that should be just as good. So we mentioned you could view that mathematically and just say, okay, here, this impact comes from hodas piv, so kal v'chomer works for Edim. Or we could say it does something a little bit more. Hi.
Wouldn't Hodas Piv be stronger?
No, Edim are stronger. What exactly Hodas Piv does? Kamei Edim is not stronger than two Edim, though. Because Trey Kamei, if you really want to take a mathematical approach, right? So the Gemara says that 100 Edim is the same thing as two Edim. So Hodas Bal Piv, Hodas Bal Din, Kamei Edim means it's Kamei's Edim. So basically, they are equal on a certain level, and for some purposes, we see that two Edim could do more. So it should seem like a kal v'chomer that if my hodah puts me in a position where I have to take a shvua, so then the edim should also have that same impact. So that could be true mathematically, but we mentioned yesterday the possibility that could also just affect the actual underlying svaris, that our whole assumption was that this person would not be such a mechutzav to completely deny a debt to somebody who did him a favor. But once we have the edim, so that's not true anymore, lagabe this guy. Because the Edim say that he does owe something. So he was kofar hakol, and the Edim said he owes something. Apparently he is willing to completely deny that this guy did him a favor. So this chazaka no longer applies, so now we require him to take a shvua. So I just put on today's list, if you look at the Nemukah Yosef, which is here in Bav Metzia, on Daf Aleph in the days. The Rif doesn't really bring this whole discussion, so the Nemukah Yosef has to kind of insert it. So you'll see it's the bottom of the Amud over there, and the Ran, they both invoke that possibility. They both discuss what exactly is the Havamina of the Maskana here, and whether you would say that a person who has now been accused of misrepresenting money, so is he also chashud on Ashvua, or do we not say that way? And they both invoke this idea that once the Edim pointed out that he really owes something, so this chazaka no longer applies to him, and that could therefore leave him in a position to take a shvua. So I just wanted you to see, if you looked at the Ran, if you had a chance to see it, the Ran and the Mukah Yosef, they both invoke that idea. The Mukah Yosef is longer and goes into some more of the ins and outs of what's going on here. It's also kedai to take a look at. So then we discussed, so then what would be the chiyuv of the modim mikzas in terms of, to the other side, but in terms of Rashi says that this whole idea of Ha'azah, and Tosfa says that it is the Gzeres HaKasav of Kihuzeh, put the Pasuk on the Marmar Komos also, get a chance to see the Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. So that would consequently have an impact in terms of what is the Chiyuv of Modeh B'Mikzas about. That according to Rashi, it would seem to be because the idea of maybe he's being Mishtamet, that maybe there's a reason. This is kind of an in-between type of approach to take, that, well, he doesn't want to deny the whole thing, but he needs to buy himself time, so that, theoretically, people would do. So that undoes the svara of Kofar HaKol. And on the other hand, you have Tosfos, who emphasizes the Gzeres HaKasav. So that goes both ways for Tosfos. That's the reason Kofar HaKol is pater, because it's not a part of the Gzeres HaKasav. And that's the reason that the mode of mikzas is chayiv. There's another approach in a different Tosfos. If you had a chance to see, it was on today's Marmar Komos. And it's a short Tosfos. It's a little complicated because of its role in the back and forth of the kal v'chomers and the Gemara, and the holy mudim that go on for the whole blot over here. But this line in Tosfos and Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Atzad HaShaveh. So what does Tosfos suggest? You had a chance to see it this morning. What does Tosfos also throw in? That kishamodim miktas o eid machisho, if somebody either has an aid testifying against him or he is modim miktas, so then what does that do to him? Nira de meshaker v'lakach yeshvur. That now something seems suspicious. And a person who can credibly say he's not even in the scene of the crime at all, so then, okay, he could justifiably be completely innocent. But when somebody starts saying, well, I was there, but I didn't do the crime, or I didn't mean to do it, or this or that, a little bit true, but not totally true, so then they start to seem a little bit suspicious, so we need a further step of clarification, and that gets us to Nira Kamishakir. So we saw also yesterday, and this could connect to the other point that we brought up, in terms of what is the nature of the Chiyuv Shvuah for the Modim Mitzvahs. So we mentioned Tosfos and Ksubis, who compared it to Gilgul Shvuah, that once you're on the table for a Shvuah, we can throw on another Shvuah. So too, maybe once you are Modeh, that's comparable to having to take a Shvuah, and we can throw on another Shvuah. While the Ritva, which I put on today's Mamar Kol, most of you had a chance to see it, the Ritva says that it means that there's Reglayim L'daver, that if you have nothing to do with it whatsoever, so then you can claim, leave me alone, I don't have any relationship to you. But once you acknowledge a little bit that there was something happening, and that you're chayiv to some degree, so then you're giving some credibility to the story, not absolute credibility, but credibility that there is some starting point, and therefore that's called raglayim l'daver, and you should have a higher level of responsibility. Jonathan?
Can you just explain again the Tosfos and Dalet Amud Aleph?
This study, he throws in, it's a very brief toast, but what he seems to be saying is that once your story gets more complicated, it looks a little bit like you're making up something. That if you had nothing to do with it, I never borrowed from the first place, it's a straightforward story. Yeah, you did lend me, but it's not as much as you said, or I paid back. It becomes a little bit more suspicious. Presumably that's what they mean. It's again, it's a very brief toast, it says, Nira Kemeshaker. Now he compares it to Eid HaMachisho, so that's easier to see why that's right. It's similar to Sheker. Why Modeh Mitzvahs is comparable, so you have to read into a little bit that he's saying something like that, that once your story is, well, so you're a little bit right and a little bit wrong, you begin to look a little bit suspicious, which seems to work with the Ritva, as opposed to the Tosfos and Ksubis, that is Reglayim B'Davar, but it's a little bit different. Reglayim B'Davar is not the same thing as Nirik and Meshaker. It's saying that at least there's what to talk about. And here, Tosfos seems to be going further than that. This is what to talk about, and you're suspicious. Reglayim B'Davar doesn't necessarily mean you're suspicious. It means that we have grounds to search your house. It means we have grounds to actually do something. So that really gets into the whole issue of what exactly is going on with Modeh Mitzvahs. So we mentioned yesterday, just for comprehensivity, we also mentioned the issue of what happens if there's no svara of ishtamute. What if a person admits that he owes the amount that's being challenged of him, but in a different way to different parties? So one person says he owes him 100, the other guy says 200, and he says, no, I owe the first guy 200, and I owe you 100, so he's modeh b'mitzvahs to that guy, but he is not really looking like he's trying to be mishtamet, because he admits to the whole debt, just in a different way. So the Shach says that's a modeh b'mitzvahs. We mentioned yesterday that seems to be consistent with a Tosfos approach, that essentially modeh b'mitzvahs is exeris akasa, but it isn't really tied in a fundamental way to these aspects of meiz and ishtamute. So we started to discuss another issue, that there was also a machlokes between the Shach and the Sma and others concerning a din in Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have somebody who Beis Din imposes upon him a partial chiyuv, that this guy denies owing any money, but Beis Din realizes that he's wrong and that he owes something. So they make him pay a partial amount. So the Shulchan Aruch says that is a din of modeh b'mitzvahs. Basically, again, from this kind of Kal V'Chomer, that the Eidim are at least, and Beis Din is at least as powerful as Eidim. And the Eidim could do it, so Beis Din could do it too. So the Ramah says that it depends. That you have to have a situation where the Beis Din is mechayiv him because of his taina. That he put forward a taina, and he thought that taina gets him off, but truth is it's mechayiv him a little bit. So because of his taina, Beis Din ends up being mechayiv him. But if he really is kofar hakol, and maybe Bezdin just doesn't believe him, so then that's not called Mogdim Miktsas, even if they end up imposing a partial fee, if it's got no connection to his taina. And the Shach disagrees with that explanation. The Shach says that, no, we have, we didn't say it this way, but essentially what the Shach seems to be coming from is that you have a Gzeris HaKasuv, that if somebody is Moda on part of the money, so you're Chayev, and we have a Kal V'chomer of Edim to that, and Bezdin is as powerful as the Edim, so therefore the math works. It's Moda B'miktsas as long as Bezdin ends up being Chayev. So the Ktsos, we didn't mention this yet yesterday, so to take it further now, the Ktsos asks on this, that there is a Mishnah in Shavuos that seems to differ with this. Do you get a chance to see the Mishnah in Shavuos? It was on today's list. That essentially the Mishnah says in Daf Membeis in Shavuos that we will not be Mechayev a Shavuah unless we have specific numbers connected to our claims. So let's say, for example, I say to Adam, I say, I gave you a wallet full of money to watch me. And he responds, okay, I don't know what was in it. Just take the wallet. It's still on my shelf. So it could end up that we are differing, and because we're talking about it, let's assume that it does end up, that we're differing in numbers. That I claim the wallet is full and it had, therefore, $100 in it, and the wallet that he's returning to me has $50 in it. So essentially, it boils down to the same mechanics as a mode of mixas. But the Mishnah says that that is potter. So the Ktso says against the Shach, what's the difference here? But essentially, Bezdin will end up addressing this situation as saying that Adam is chayiv half to me. He's essentially a mode of mixas in practice, even though he wasn't actually being Moda. So essentially I am claiming $100, that's what it turns out to mean, and he is being Moda to $50. So why is that not the same thing as the Shach? Why shouldn't we say that that's the same thing as Moda B'miktsas in a technical sense? So it happens to be the Shach himself asks on that din in the Mishnah in Shavuos, that din is recorded in Shulchan Aruch. And the Shach objects from a different din. The Shach says it's a contradiction to a different din. That if I say to Menachem, I lent you $100. And he says back, I don't know exactly how much it was. So then, that requires a shvur. So what's the difference there? So there are two different ways of explaining the difference. The Shach himself says the difference is that in the case of the wallet, or it could be a house also, as the Mishnah mentions, you're not necessarily admitting anything. Because maybe it'll turn out that the number I'm giving you is bigger than the number you're asking for. So therefore, we don't even know that there even is a kfira at all of the Shavu Prutu. It's going to end up later when we do the math and we add up the numbers and we take stock that the Toveh is asking for 100 and the Nitva is claiming 50. But at the time when he expresses his claim, there isn't even any fear at all because we don't know what he thinks it's worth. As opposed to the second case where at least the Toveh is coming with a clear number. And the Sma says a little bit differently, not focusing on the fact that there isn't any fear at all, but the Sma says that he's the response of the first case, or really actually the Tviya of the first case. So if the Mishnah in Shavuos tells us that we need to have actual numbers in order to have Shavuos, so we look at the Tviya. The first guy who's demanding repayment isn't bringing any number at all. And in the second case, where he says, I lent you $100, so his Tviya has at least a number associated with it. So what's the difference between these two explanations? So some point out there is a Sefer Gidrei Mishpat that has a nice piece about this, and it's consistent with other things we'll see in a second. That the Shach, as we mentioned, seems to have a kind of a Gzeres HaKasev type of approach. But what is the Gzeres HaKasev? You have to be Moda B'mamo. So in the case of the Mishnah and Shavuos, he's not Moda to anything. We don't know at all if there's any difference between them. So there isn't even the minimal standard of the Gzeres HaKasev being fulfilled in that case. But the Sma's perspective is perhaps that there has to be an acknowledgement of the Taina itself. And in the case of the Mishnah and Shavuos, the Taina is simply not one that's susceptible to a Shavua because it doesn't have any number associated with it. So that prompts a question which the Stipler talks about and others talk about, which very much correlates with what we said a few minutes ago in terms of the Gilgul Shavua versus Raglayim Medaber question. That how do you view the obligation, the chiyuv of a moda b'miktzas? Is it that you have to be moda to the tviya of the guy? The person comes to you with a claim, and you say your claim is right, just not to the degree that you're saying it? Or is it not really relevant how it correlates to his claim? It's just that he's asking for a certain amount of money from you, and you acknowledge that you owe some of that money, for whatever reason. And what would the breakdown of those two views be? That if you say it's a Gzeres HaKasev, like the Shach, and like Tosus, and like the Gemara derives from Ki Huzeh, so what you're saying is, anytime a person acknowledges a part of the Mamon, so then he's Chayiv in the Shul. But it doesn't matter whether that comes in any correlation to the claim of the Toveya. It just means, you tell me I owe you $100, and 50 of it I acknowledge, so then the Gzeres HaKasev kicks in. Whether or not there's Ha'aza, whether or not there's Ishtamute, whether or not other factors are in play, the Gzeres HaKasev needs that much. It needs that you are claiming a certain amount, and I'm acknowledging a part of that amount. While you could say differently, you could say that it's about somehow validating the other person's claim. The Ritva's Raglayim Ladavar, Tosus of Dalitz Nira Kamishaka. So if the person comes with a claim, I lent you money, and I lent you $100, and you respond, well, yes, you did lend me $50, so because I'm doing it that way, I am validating his claim of having lent me money. And now he has a leg up when he claims that I owe him $100. So therefore, that standard requires that I relate specifically to the tviya and not just to the overall bill, not just the overall invoice. So this could have a couple of ramifications. I'll just throw out two. I know in the interest of time, I won't be able to explain it fully, so we'll explain a little bit more tomorrow, and then we'll try to finish up this sugi, at least as much as we'll do about it. But just to give an example, first of all, the Shach himself does quote a din from the Ramban, that you have to have tviya kodemes l'kvira, that there has to be an order here, that the person has to express his taina first before you can be held liable for acknowledging part of it. So that would seem to support the idea that there's got to be a relationship to the tviya. But the Shach himself quotes this Ramban. So you could, as the Acharonim explained, you could relate to it two ways. You could say just that's what the Gzeres HaKasev is. There has to be first a claim, and then an acknowledgement of some part of that claim. Or you could say a little bit more than that, that the whole issue of Modi B'Miktas is that you are validating the claim to some degree, and therefore we need the claim to come first before your acknowledgement of a partial debt. The other concept we'll get into a little bit more tomorrow that impacts on this is, do you get a chance to see, or you may be familiar from other places, the din of Tainu B'Chitim V'Hodilo B'Sa'urim? This is a Gemara that appears in a couple places in Bava Kamma and Daf Lamed Hey and in Shavuos. That what happens if I claim to Mishal that he owes me a certain amount of chitim, a certain amount of wheat, and he responds, "No, I don't owe you any wheat, but I owe you some barley, I owe you some sa'urim." So then it turns out he's completely pater. So that's a funny din a little bit. It's machlokas in the Gemara, but it seems to be he's completely pater. So why shouldn't we say that it's at least the mode of the mixas? So whatever the barley is worth, it's less than the worth of the chitim. So fine, he doesn't acknowledge owing me as much as I claim he owes, but he acknowledges owing something. So why don't we make him take a shvua of mode of the mixas? So it's a machlokas rishonim why that is. The Rama says because there is a svara that he's just trying to push me off now with that whole claim. He's not really acknowledging anything. While other Rishonim, such as the Rush and the Ramah, sounds like this also, says that essentially, I don't have a Tviya on the Sa'urim. So therefore, by not having a Tviya, so either I am as if, it's as if I am Mochel on the Sa'urim, because I'm not coming and asking for it, and therefore there's nothing here. Or you could say that there's not any validation from him on any claim, because we're two ships passing in the night, I'm talking about Chitim, he's talking about Sa'urim, and translating that to a monetary value doesn't work the same way as it would if it was a monetary loan. So we'll have to explain that a little bit more tomorrow because we are over time. You should have a wonderful day, and God willing, we will continue tomorrow. You heard Jonathan's announcement, so definitely tomorrow's a very important day.